gone then? How bad could it be?
What if it's Commander Ruin? He punched me in the tummy once and I vomited on his boots. Instantly coughed up a Reuben sandwich on his boots. He never forgave me.
I'm hoping it's the guy from Home Improvement. Not the main guy, but the handyman, Al. I hope it's Al.
Did you arch the Home Improvement guy?
I did not, but I hope it's him because he would never hurt us.
He wouldn't. He seems nice. Maybe it would be prudent to wait till after dinner.
Dinner and another episode of Downton Abbey.
Absolutely. I'm glad that you caught on. So, hi! Welcome to Venture Bros, Adventure Brothers Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Brian Dressa. With me, as always, is Graham Scott Hall Mason.
Hello! I just accidentally gave myself that nickname.
Scott Hall. Do you love Scott Hall?
Yeah, more than the next one.
More than also on our show is Matt Tim Tum Dykes.
Nice. Thanks, Graham.
I was very close to just going with Kevin because that sounded way funnier to me.
Fucking
Matt Kevin Dykes. It's like, oh, it's just his middle name.
That is not my middle name.
It would have been really funny if it was, though.
It would be freaky. I'm like, how the hell did you know that?
We know.
We know too much. Everything. We're right behind you! That's not true at all. That would take a lot of effort to pull that off.
Or we could be.
And if you were right behind me, you'd be basically outside in the rain and wind of Storm Dennis. So, you know, go for it.
Okay.
Storm Dennis.
Storm Dennis.
Sounds menacing.
It sounds,
Sounds like a weatherman named a weather storm after himself.
It sounds way better than the one that we
and
had
And over here
just
we have the question
Dennis
of a Storm Dennis.
Dennis, don't do this.
Is that going to correct me?
Dennis,
no.
Stop.
It's Storm Dennis. Dennis.
Any
Dennis.
Other... he did it. VFX guy, don't type his name on the... it's in
he
the
did
scroller.
It. God damn it.
It's in the scroller.
Now we can't... Not every storm can be Storm Dennis. Dennis.
And Storm Dennis 2. Back with a vengeance.
It's spelling out this time it's personal in waves.
Well, we actually had a second storm, a storm before Dennis, like literally. So we had one hit and then Dennis hit. And the one before that, Kiara.
That just sounds like a nice storm.
It was not.
Storm. Oh. And before that, you had Storm Brexit, which sounded like a really bad storm, too.
I mean, that's just a shit storm.
Yay! Our world's on fire! Yay! At least we have Venture Brothers to talk about, right?
Yeah.
For now.
We only have 3 episodes left.
We have Venture Brothers to talk about for 3 more episodes, and then it's gone.
But we do have an entire series of a different show we're going to talk about after that. And I wanted to start kind of hinting at what that other show was going to be. And I don't really know how to do it without just totally giving it away. So I'm trying
about
to
my new best friend.
Well, yeah, okay. I mean, don't say that. I had to bleep that part out. I can say the show is my new best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'll work. Again, there's another bleep. Thanks for nothing. But either way, so the hint is, the show is my new best friend, and then a whole bunch of bleeps from Graham and Matt as they are just spoiling the hell out of what it's going to be. So let's talk Venture Bros.
Let's.
Because we're not quite done with it yet.
No.
But we have to talk about the term anus mandator. Did I get that right?
No, you did not.
The term date man anus?
That sounds horrific.
Term date man anus is what we're talking about today. The terminus man anus.
Sounds like the worst sandwich you could ever get.
Can I have a term date man anus? You can. You shouldn't. Kind of sounds like a terminal date man anus. And
yeah,
it's like, yeah.
What, What type of term offer is that?
sounds like a real shitty date.
Okay.
Slam dunk on that joke. Anyhow, so the Terminus Mandate episode is here, and we're ready to talk about it. This is an episode, I'll just do a very quick breakdown and just kind of give you a general feel of what the episode is. This is kind of the Guild of Calamitous Intents swan song. The Council of the Guild of Calamitous Intents swan song. This is them giving up their arching jobs, all just to be permanent councilmen or women. And by doing that, they get one final arch. And we go through everyone, and they get their one final hurrah with their ultimate nemesis. And on the flip side, we have Rusky, who is fully admitting who he is and what he deserves. And that is a pathetic man and a prostitute. and he's going through, like, I hired the best prostitute ever, who also happens to kill everyone that she ever sleeps with. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to prepare myself and be willing to dodge the murdering and just enjoy the sexing. And none of that goes well.
No.
The training montage, or the training moments, go very well. but the date, not so much.
Which, they're getting very good at training.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah, they're getting very good at preparing Rusty to not die.
No. Yeah. Well, not just Rusty, but back in the, like, a few episodes ago with Billy.
With Billy, yeah.
I'm going to say, Rusty was doing some training there. You know, Rusty was helping train Billy to, you know, avoid being paintballed.
The family that constantly fucks up has actually started learning some lessons. They're growing. It's really kind of nice to see.
Yeah.
And poor Rusty, just like, I don't remember how exactly he phrases, like, what I deserve, like, clearly the pathetic man that I am. It's just like, ooh. You've never been so self-aware, Rusty. I'm not saying you're wrong, but it's almost refreshing to see you know who you are.
Yeah.
It's again that whole thing we've seen about he's growing this season. He's realizing this sort of stuff.
So let's kind of start with that, and then we'll move into the guild, because the guild is the real meat and potatoes of this episode. Like, that's really where everything that I love about this episode is. But we'll just kind of sidestep for a second. Are we all on the same page? I love the hell out of this episode.
I love this episode too.
Yeah, I think it's pretty great. I think it's definitely different than last week's episode.
Everything is.
But I do love this episode as well.
I don't think your wife would judge you as harshly for watching this episode as the last one.
True.
Depends what scene she walked in on.
And I guess. On last week's episode, too... I mean.
Oh, yeah. No, she definitely walked in right before the worst bits of last week's episode.
Walks in as the guy's washing his balls.
Yes. No, yeah. Yes. Exactly that moment. Yes. I had to pause it right before it happened. Like, as he was running out of the bar, I was like, pause. This episode's going to get weird.
and then it did.
And then, it immediately did.
This episode, I don't think, really has any of those moments. It has one moment that gets a little funky, but they don't show anything, so it's not that bad. And I kind of feel bad for Colonel Gathers that he loses that showdown. By a whole inch.
I mean, it was nighttime. It was cold. I'm sure they were on a bridge, which is always windy.
In Gathers' defense, he had it cut off and reattached.
That is true.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
could have lost a bit.
Yeah, that's true.
And we don't know if they're going flaccid or erect, because that can change things.
Yeah.
So who knows? But either way, for this particular showdown...
From the base. Let's have some decorum.
For this particular showdown, Colonel Gathers was defeated. But I do love...
By a whole inch!
By a whole inch. And we'll go back to this, don't worry. I love that Gathers was his ultimate arch nemesis.
Yeah.
That was a really cool moment of like, oh, that does make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. But we'll get into that, because clearly that's where I want to talk about. Let's get the Rusky stuff kind of done and out of the way. Which we've already kind of circled as much as we really need to, but there's just kind of little things here and there.
I mean, I love the conversation he has with Night Dick, because I like that they brought Night Dick back as well.
Yeah.
But him having a full-blown conversation in that voice as well throughout the whole thing.
It's pretty fantastic.
I forgot his name.
Was Night Dick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
It's pretty great.
he laughed at the name. Throwback to season 6.
My favorite bit with the whole Rusty date sequence is when they give Rusty so many fucking like anti-venom things to take that it just knocks him the fuck out. Like, they're so prepared for him to die that they knock him out. And I love, as soon as he gets knocked out, she, like, the laser pointer just right on her head, and she's like,
I didn't do that.
I didn't do that one. She's such a pro.
It's almost like she knew that was about to happen.
Oh, yeah. I just love the, and is that your man out there with the rifle trained on me? But beyond that, there's not really a lot with that whole Rusty sequence. There's some really funny moments. I like seeing the boys, you know, have fun and be nice to each other, because that's kind of gonna end here really quick. Yes. With where the rest of the show is going.
Yes,
but it's nice to see them have those moments.
Yeah, they're still brotherly.
Yeah,
yeah,
because that's most definitely about to end.
Yes.
And
there is the crossover that we know with of. I forget her name. It's not Novotel. It's his date.
Oh.
The bride.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Anyways.
Who's Sheila's
arch nemesis. Is Sheila's Novia. Arch. And there's that crossover, too.
Yeah.
And so, to transition into the other bit, where Sheila, though kind of makes an embarrassment of herself at her arching, actually comes out successfully arching her nemesis.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And by stealing her wallet.
By stealing her wallet. She's by a badass. There is something to be said about Sheila's moment. Because Sheila very rarely lets her guard down in any extent. Like, any situation. And she actually kind of lets it down for a moment. Like, she gets embarrassed. Like, she has to put on her old Lady O'Pair costume. And she doesn't really feel at home in it anymore. It's this kind of, like, nice moment where she has to spend with Gary. Where it's like, I cried in front of my arch nemesis. Like, what was I doing? And it's like, oh... It's kind of nice seeing her have a down-to-earth moment. Like, that's something the show has been really nailing later on. And it's a lot of times with Sheila and Gary.
Yeah, that's... It's like the second or third sort of, like, real human moment that they've both had. I mean, they kind of have two of them in this episode. Like, when the Monarch storms off and Gary's kind of like, he's not going to kill himself, you know?
You're making it worse.
Yeah. He's, like, just trying to... He's trying to sort of comfort her in a way, but he's just making it completely, like, ruining that completely.
Yeah. And there is some inner conflict with her as well, too, at the end of, even all the way at the end of the episode, when they're going around the council table of, like, are you in? Are you in? Are you in? And, you know, okay, all right, councilwoman, are you in? And she's like, and then.
And then end.
End.
We don't get an answer.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Suspense.
That said,
they do that quite well as well.
They always do that well though. They've want to do a cliffhanger, they do them well.
Yes, like, especially at the end of a season.
Yeah,
and then go away for 4 years.
Motherfucker. I'm fine with it. I'm fine. Yeah. Fine. Yeah. It could get canceled at any moment. They take such a long fucking break. You know, it's fine. You know, leave these threads hanging. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely don't need to tie up any of this.
Nope. So let's kind of get through some of the guilds. Final archings or final hurrahs. We kind of talked about Sheila a little bit. I want to talk Dr. Z, because I love Dr. Z. He's one of my favorite characters fucking ever.
I will get you, Johnny!
And it's such a sweet moment. It's nice to see Johnny finally legitimately cleaning up for now. For now is always a thing with Johnny, let's be honest. But it was also really nice, like, especially because so much of this show came out of a love for Johnny Quest. Like, so much of this show, to see them finally be able to animate Johnny Quest was awesome. Like, Johnny Quest and the legit Dr. Z with a little hat and everything, like, that was just so much fun to see. And I loved the moment of sincerity between the two of them. Like, oh man, you want me to, like, run and hide or something? Oh, yes, please.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's Anubis. Ah, run away. We did that.
The bugglers.
When he shows up to visit, like, I'm here to see Action Johnny, and I'm like, oh, well, visits aren't really happening. You leave him a note. Oh, okay. I will get you, Johnny.
Z. She looks at it, and she's like, aw.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I'll go get John for you.
His name is Johnny.
Yeah, I thought all of that was just, that was a really wonderful, kind of sweet, sort of farewell to Johnny Quest in a way.
Yeah.
It's a very just kind of like
there's the conversation that they were having, like, it's like he's even talking about him moving in with him and his wife.
Yeah.
And Roboy.
And Roboy.
Oh, I don't like Roboy. Roboy makes me so uncomfortable.
Yeah,
he does. Whoa, he doesn't have one of these?
gross.
Yeah, Roboy is, he can't live with me. he's not welcome here. So let's kind of go back to Colonel Gathers and Phantom Limb. Did either one of you see that? Like, think back to the first time you saw this episode. Did you see his arch nemesis being Colonel Gathers?
No. I didn't know who it was going to be, but I didn't think it was going to be Gathers.
It is, for me, one of those moments where I'm like, it's not going to be Gathers. Like, I don't know who it's going to be, but I never thought Gathers. And then as soon as it was Gathers, I'm like, that makes sense.
Yeah. No, yeah. It totally does. And, all of these except for Lady O'Pair make sense. But we never really got much backstory in Lady O'Pair anyway, so it's like,
no.
Okay, sure.
We really got a costume and that she used the Muppets. Otherwise, we didn't really see much of what she did outside of when she started working. I forget her code name with Phantom Limb.
Phantom Limb.
But, Lady Etheria?
Yeah, there it is, yeah. Lady Etheria. Yeah, so beyond that, we didn't really get a lot of her solo arching story. So it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Quit
opening the cash bags.
We would never think of taking anything from you, Mom. It's covered in purple paint. It was really nice to see the Muppets come back. And then really nice to know we're not really going to see him too much anymore after this.
Yes. Oh, my God.
And 21 dressed as...
as a Muppet.
You're big now? No, I'm not a... That's not... I didn't think that's
not a thing.
It doesn't work like that.
So if that's those two, let's talk a little bit. I got to go for my favorite showdown of the thing. I was going to save it for last, but I just want to dive into it. I think the best showdown of all the guild is Radical Left.
Oh, really?
You reckon? I was thinking Red Death.
I like Red Death, but his was just more like... his just kind of made sense.
I was going for a Dragoon.
Yeah. I like Dragoons, too. Radical Left is the best, because you find out the Radical Left's arch nemesis
is
himself.
Yeah.
Just don't absorb me this time.
It is.
Well, of course it is. It's Right Wing.
And I like how they shoot it, too. I mean, not shoot, but I mean, I like how they present it.
Yeah,
like
the shots.
Shot reverse.
It's perfect. Yeah, it's really cool. And it's a panning shot as well. Each time, I love that sort of like the way the camera is sort of moving each time it cuts to the other side. And it's doing that sort of like very slow pan.
Yeah.
Is it a pan?
Yeah, I mean, yes. It's all, I mean.
It's not on sticks.
No, but yes.
There's no camera.
It's a slide of anything. But yes.
But yeah, no, I thought all that. That sequence just cracks me up. Like, the Red Dragoon stuff is phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. But yeah. Radical Left, just the reveal that it's not like Two-Face, where it was, you know, a guy who got burned on half of himself and went a little nuts. It is two separate people who got merged.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really cool. Like, I like the reveal of it. I like the showdown of it. I like that they just kind of end up not fighting at all. Yeah, like, I enjoyed all of it. I thought it was great. But if you like
best one out of five.
But if you liked Red Dragoon, why don't you go ahead with Red Dragoon?
It's just so amazing because they're just so old, so timid, and so not good.
All of your nemesis have died.
Yeah. I mean, just it's.
I just love that immediate
thing.
Lead
up of the whole
we
thing.
Won.
Like, oh man, I really hope it's that guy from Home Improvement. Who? Well, not the main guy. The other guy, Al. Did you arch Al? No, but I just want it to be him. He seems like he'd be a really nice guy. They wouldn't hurt us.
I just thought that they just end up watching Downton Abbey all night. Yeah.
And then finally open the letter, and then. And then that's my favorite moment, right? And what happens afterwards, and it's just, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
It is so perfect for them.
Yes.
Like, so
I do love that perfect line.
Yeah. And they're successful at the end, where it's like, we did it!
Yeah. I do love that line. I confess, I fantasize of double-teaming her. As if we have any other option than double-teaming her.
Oh, God. Who else was there? I feel like we've missed somebody.
Red Death.
Red Death.
The actual
The Wide Whale as well. Widewell, who sends Rocco to do his final arch. I always find that really funny.
Yeah, but then he also stepped himself down from being a so council member.
And we don't even know if he did. We don't think he did it. Or I don't think he did it.
No, he did. He definitely sent, because he sent Rocco to go beat him up and then take him out for like a beer or something afterwards. So he could like check him off his list and then continue on with whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
So he's still a card-carrying member, if you will, but he's no longer a councilman because he doesn't.
Yeah, but I kind of took it as like, I mean, he might have actually done it, but it's like, actually, on second thought, let's not do this.
I have a feeling if Rocco's told to do something, he's going to do it. I just doubt he's going to. Like, I don't think the guys go to the hospital by any means. I'm sure it's just a couple punches, then like, all right, let's go get you cleaned up. Like,
yeah.
I have to do this. Sorry. It's
boss says.
Yeah. It's not personal. It's work.
Mama said knock you out.
Yeah. So I'm going to knock you out.
Yeah.
But
I think actually the best out of all of these is actually Red Death.
Because he's the best.
Red Death is incredible.
Yeah.
He's incredible in everything. I also love his introductions when he first walks in with his little cap and his sweater.
Oh, his disguise.
And then, you know, of course they meet Phantom Limb there, who's just dressed as Phantom Limb.
Yeah, and he has to go change.
Right. Save me a pepper.
I also was it Blind Rage? Is that his name?
Mm.
He's a douchebag. I don't like him at all, but I like his name, and I like that he's a blind guy who can shout out everything in the room. Yeah.
He's awful. Yeah. He's a truly, truly terrible, terrible person thing.
He's the guy who gets run over by the train, though, isn't he?
I don't think he... I was thinking that, too, but...
See, I thought it was... I'm certain that it was him.
It's a different guy.
Yeah, I'm 90% sure it's a different guy.
Because it's a different costume. Well, I think Blind Rage is just Blind Rage. I would like it to be Blind Rage.
Yeah.
That gets run over by the train. But it is somebody else, which I don't know if we ever find out what his name is.
Well, he seems like Blind Rage, though. And I know it's a different costume, but I don't think Blind Rage was in costume when he went into that.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's all the way that Red Death... Because he's basically... Red Death says, oh, I'll pay him off. It's on my way home anyway. And he goes over and just, like, knocks the guy out, ties him up, and, like, everything he's saying is, like, you know, we're not afraid of the peril partnership and all this. Like, you know, take that back to your bosses. Take that message back to your bosses if you survive. Yeah. I always thought it was actually Blind Rage that's tied to the tracks.
It is. I'm looking it up now. But we don't know if he died.
Yeah, because, like, as you were explaining, I was remembering. Because I was watching it and... Exactly like as you say, I was like, it should be Blind Rage. And so, yeah, maybe Blind Rage just wasn't in costume when he met at the restaurant. I mean, not maybe. He wasn't in costume until the end.
He was actually dressed up as Tyler Durden at the restaurant.
I was like, this costume looks very similar.
That's why. I just looked at the character now just to make sure that we weren't telling Matt he was wrong incorrectly. No, Matt was right. We were wrong. But he is a mashup of Daredevil and Tyler Durden, is what they said.
Nice.
And that tracks. All right,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Also, the reveal that Red Death is 70 years old as well.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I mean, it makes sense. He's been doing this a long fucking time.
Yeah. I mean,
he was on Gargantua 1.
Yeah.
He was at movie night.
Yeah.
So he's been doing this a long
time. Because all those guys,
all those guys are old too.
All those guys are super old, yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a nice reveal, but like as soon as it said it's one of those like, oh, he's 7? I mean, I guess that tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just makes him even more of a badass, though.
Well, it tracks better than the Serena Ong analogy.
No sense. Yeah. I'm fine with it, but I'm totally lost. I'm so excited she's coming back here soon. I love Serena.
Yeah.
But no, I think then Red Death is... Red Death is a great character because he is the best at being an arch nemesis. Like, I will never say that he is the... Like, between him and Sheila, it's like a dead heat of who is the best at their job. And the difference is, Sheila can do this every day of the week. Whereas Red Death is very... He likes his one day of murder. He likes to kill, But he likes his one day of arching, where Sheila can do this whenever she wants.
I mean, he very much likes to kill.
I know. But that's my thing, is like, where Sheila is 100% in at all times, Red Death is still kind of both. He's a family man who likes his job. He doesn't take his work home with him. Sheila brings her work home with her.
Yeah.
So I'm not like, I'm not trying to say one's better or the other. I'm just saying that if you had to have one on your team, who knows which way you'd want to go. They have their pluses and minuses.
Yeah. Whenever I think of Red Death as well, I always think of that. It's a line from something. I think it's probably like a Batman, from a Batman or something like that. And it's a line of always fear an old man in a profession where they usually die young or something like that. So it's like paraphrasing the line there. But yeah, it's like Red Death is an old man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that line really tracks.
Yep, that's creepy.
Yep. anywho. So what have we missed? So we've been talking for a while on this thing. What haven't we talked about? Or have we covered it all and we should move into our favorite moments?
I think we've kind of covered it all, really.
I think so, yeah.
It's mostly, it's just about the final arches, really.
Yeah. Which I love.
We've done the rusty side of it, which there's not really a lot there. There's like the odd little joke in there, like when he's messaging, he's like, send a flower made of punctuation and all that stuff. But there's not really much there.
No, this really feels like an episode of like, all right, what else can we do with these characters as arch nemesis? Not a lot.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's say goodbye to that and let's just move on. And that's kind of what they did.
Yeah.
Which
I did note that, you know, Wide Whale kind of tips his cap and says, yeah, this whole council isn't for me.
But he's also not...
He's not out of it.
Yeah, he's not so arrogant to leave the guild,
right?
But he knows he still wants to be an arch nemesis.
Yeah.
He's not done with that, which I kind of like. That makes sense for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's move into our favorite Venture Brothery moment of the episode. I have like 4 or 5. And I'm going to whittle it down to 1. So why don't one of you go first while I try to figure out which one one is?
So mine, I baited kind of before with the Red Dragoon. Can I do that?
Sure.
I was really hoping it was going to be that guy, Al, from Home Improvement. At the very end where they're like, man, that guy from Home Improvement really dodged a bullet tonight. And I just love that because that wasn't even an option.
Nope.
As if they were actually going to go through with arching anybody at all after having dinner and watching many episodes of Downton Abbey. I love it. I love it so much.
It is it's a great line, is that, as well. It's that just... Because they've just been scared shitless of opening the envelope all night. Yeah. It's almost like that.
He would punch me in the stomach and I puked on his boots.
I mean, I'm just going to piggyback off of it. Like, because it's just... Mine is also in that scene, and it has to be the moment they open the envelope, and all of your arch nemeses have died.
We did it!
We did it!
We won!
We won! It's just so fucking good. And I just can't think of any other show where that happened.
It's like gleeful shout of, we won!
Like, yeah, just the how happy he is, and just the fact that we had an entire episode leading up to the reveal of who do they have to fight, and it's no one.
Yeah. And they're so happy.
It's the perfect ending to that storyline for them as well. It's the perfect end to it.
Oh,
that they've been that scared of opening the envelope. Then if they'd just opened it, they'd have just not have been scared at all because... Yeah.
And their evening would have not changed at all.
No.
They would have done exactly what they did.
It's so perfect for them. Like it made me so happy. All right, Matt, what about you?
I think for me, it's Phantom and Hunter's showdown. You know, they're on the bridge. It goes into very Sergio Leone style close ups and things like that. And you think that it's going to be like they're going to draw down. You think, oh my God, this is it. Like, one of them's going to get shot and killed or something. And then it's like, they pull out rules like, drop them a measure.
We going from the top or from the base?
From the base. We're not animals.
Dignity.
That is such,
And it's the music moment. In the background as well. It's very, it's all very sort of Sergio Leone spaghetti western style. You know, it's got that Ennio Morricone type music score in the background. I love it. When I was watching it again this time, I was just thinking, that's a really well done sequence.
There are moments in every episode, or for the most part in every episode, where you're like, oh man, they had fun making this scene, this moment, this whatever.
Yeah.
This is one of the few episodes where I'm like, they had to have had a blast from moment one to the second it was done. Like, all of this was just so much, just fun. It might not be the meatiest episode. There's a lot of backstory, but you can just see how much fun this one had to make.
Yep.
But you got, like, you know, the fun bit. I can imagine they had a shit ton of fun doing the Red Death stuff with him going tick, 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 like all that. Oh, like, yeah. It's very well put together as well, is that? And, like, you know,
just
the
shots
stuff
of the about train hope.
Coming.
Like, that gives you a little bit of hope that you can get away.
Yeah.
And if you do get away, tell the Peril Partnership, we don't negotiate with you motherfuckers, or whatever he says.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
If you don't get away, then sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've said it before, it's like, this show, and especially in this episode and in that moment, the show does a very good job of balancing true terror and horror and, you know, and comedy and just, you know, ridiculous stuff. Because in that moment with Red Death, if that was in any other show, in a dramatic show, I'd fucking believe that guy.
Yeah.
I'd be truly terrified of, like, oh shit, he's gonna legit murder this guy. Then talk about, you know, the tick, tick, tick of like, it just how well it's shot, just how, you know, just Red Death.
Yeah,
voice. I mean, just
it kind of had that like the Bill from the end of Kill Bill Volume 2. Kind of had like that sort of just like that menace of just like a very casual conversation, but the whole thing is about how I'm going to murder you.
Yep.
Like, such a good scene.
It's just like, you know, you'd be terrified being tied to some train lines anyway, but then with a guy almost taunting you a little bit with, you know, gives you a bit of hope and all this stuff. Like, you know, that just makes it 10 times more terrifying.
On this track? Yeah. Is it on another track?
There's the train. That's that ticking now.
Tick.
Tick. Yeah. Tick. Oh, it's
tick,
so good.
Tick. Tick. Tick.
All right. So that is the Terminus Mandate. Sorry. Term date Mandate.
Nope, that's right. Nope, that was it. Terminus Mandate. Got it.
Term date Mandate.
Yeah,
it. Term date Mandate.
Anus.
Anus. Anus.
I'm leaving.
I said anus.
Anus.
Penis.
Anus. Term Date Man Anus is what we were talking about, and now we're no longer talking about Term Date Man Anus. It was a good one. I liked it. It's fun.
Yep.
Let's do some plugs in the Man Anus. Ha!
I have left.
Man
you
plugs
the
in the anus
one.
Never hurt anyone. I don't know what a man plug is.
You know what.
Please stop talking and start talking about something else.
Anal plugs.
That hit beat me to it.
All right, so
Brian seems to be plugging butt plugs.
Oh, man. I made a butt plug joke on After the Hype before, and it was a total joke, like totally a joke. And then everyone on the table decided to get really clinical with me, like, no, you can't put that in a butt. Like, if you're going to do anal play, you need to do it like, I'm like, guys, it was a joke. It was a joke. I'm not trying to give anal advice here on our movie review podcast.
This is definitely not that podcast. But if you're interested in a podcast.
It's After the Hype, not after the butt plug.
Yeah, like, I will make legitimate statements about anal play at a different podcast. And that was this one. Man Anus. Woo!
ATH presents butt play.
Anyhoozle, let's talk about some... I can't say the word anymore without just thinking about ass play. So let's talk about some ass play. Go to hthpod.com. These are plugs. Think of hair plugs. These are hair plugs.
Not good either. Those aren't good either.
The word plug has been ruined for me right now.
Yep.
So that's the end of my plugs. I'm not sure if I actually plugged anything.
No.
Hthpod.com, I said a few
just
times.
Just your boat.
I think. Matt, what are you plugging these days?
Oh God! Which podcast was it? Which was it? The Die Hard one or the Tarantino one? When I ended up plugging sex,
I honestly don't remember. Probably both. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I will not. I won't plug that this time.
You hear that, kids? Don't have sex. Says Matt Tim Tum Dykes.
It leads to bad decisions.
So what are you actually promoting?
I fucking lost my train of thought.
Many of us have. Ass play ruins everything.
Yeah, so just keep reading my articles. New ones will be going up eventually at some point. I know there's one that's sort of ready to go up as soon as it gets proofed already about video games. And just like, it's like a... I was getting really annoyed with like video games being seen as like a lesser form of entertainment. You know, like this thing of, you know, as an adult, you say, oh, I like to play video games. And you get that, you always get that look of like, what are you, a child? Or something
Dude,
like that.
I walk around my job with a backpack full of comic books. I'm very used to that look.
And it's that thing of like, you know, it's one of the most lucrative entertainment industries in the world, but it's still seen as, you know, this, like, it doesn't get as much respect. It's like, it's almost like the idea behind making video games into films is legitimizing them. Well, no, it's not, because they are legitimate already.
They already tell amazing stories.
Yeah, you can't look at The Last of Us and say that is not an amazing fucking story.
I can't say it's not aging that well as a game, though. I'm playing it right now, as a matter of fact. It's a little clunky going back to it. Just a little
bit. I haven't played it for a while. I remember playing it the first time and just being drawn into that world.
Story is still amazing. Still near flawless. I think it's one of the best games ever made as far as storytelling goes. As far as a replay, it's a little clunky.
Yeah. It pisses me off when people say as well about, you know, we're going to make a Last of Us film. And I'm like, how?
Yeah, don't.
How are you going to condense that story into 2 hours?
So this is a good time to plug an actual podcast. Listen to Damage Boost. If you like any of the stuff that Matt is saying, we cover all this on our shows that comes out on Friday, hosted by the note taker from this show, Mr. Brock Holliday, called Damage Boost. And Brock has just a great show over there talking about all things video games and about the culture of video games. So I highly recommend, if you like any of the stuff that Matt just said, check out Damage Boost. It's a great show.
Yeah, I apologize that my rant went on for 20 minutes.
No, it's fine. It only went on for like 4 minutes, and that meant it was only like 2 minutes when I actually edited it all down. So it's great. I'm just going to say goodbye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.